O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our epistle today, 1 Peter, is a letter written to a people in exile. You see it all through the book of 1 Peter. Today's reading begins, "If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile." Exile. Exile is a theme throughout the Bible. Exile was the repeated experience of the Jewish people in ancient times. Exile was the experience of Jesus and his family as they fled from their home into Egypt to escape the murderous intentions of their own government. Exile was the experience of the people to whom Peter wrote, Jews who believed in Jesus as the Messiah and Jews who didn't, had all alike been driven out of Jerusalem by the Romans and scattered throughout the empire. Exile is a theme in the Bible because it is a theme throughout human history. People are moved by force of arms or politics or economics. History is replete with ethnic cleansing and tribal pogroms. Today we might consider especially the Syrian people being slaughtered by their own government, various other Middle Eastern persons seeking a safe haven from the chaos of their homes, Latin Americans seeking a place where they might be able to feed their children, or all kinds of indigenous peoples whose homes are being taken from them or poisoned in the name of progress or energy. Exile is something that you and I know, even if you've lived in the same place all your life. Our normal patterns and habits and expectations have been taken from us, and we feel like strangers in our own communities. Our normal sources of comfort and consolation, safety and security, have been taken from us. Even visiting the grocery store, the bank, or the hospital are all alike rife with uncertainty. At a funeral this week, the children of the person we buried, in deep need of each other's affection, all stood 6 feet apart, wearing masks and gloves. Someone else told me of a birthday party that consisted of people driving by, each isolated in their own cars, waving and holding up balloons. Or a third person who visited relatives and raked their leaves for them, sharing their greetings from the yard while the family they were visiting stood apart on their porch. What is the difference between exile and a vacation? They're both about being away from home, away from what's normal. But what marks exile as opposed to a vacation is fear. Refugees do not leave their homes, their families, their cultures to go to a strange place and to try to start over from nothing, unless there is some serious fear driving them there. The amazing, unprecedented shuttering of the U.S. economy is something that would have been unimaginable only weeks ago. But what did it was fear. Right now, there's a lot of fear floating around us, and inside of us. There's fear of the unknown, not knowing who is actually carrying this virus without feeling its effects, not knowing if I might be carrying this virus without feeling its effects. There's fear that I might unknowingly pick up the virus from a doorknob, a document, a grocery store, a family member. There's an awful lot of fear related to job losses and the depreciation of assets. There's fear about running out of food or paper products or medicine. There's fear for the well-being of our spouses, of our children, of our parents. There's even fear of civic unrest and desperate people taking desperate measures, resulting in the opening of gun shops as essential services, and a rush of business that those shops experienced, which was, to me, as pure and unadulterated an expression of fear as I can imagine. Some of us feel that fear as anxiety that can at times be incapacitating. Others of us squash it down and mask the fear with casual bravado. For some, the terror is so pronounced that the only response they can find is denial. But right now, everyone, rich and poor, hungry and well-fed, of every age and ethnicity and socioeconomic status, everyone shares a common fear of getting sick and a fear of making others sick. The current pandemic, the work of a tiny, unseen virus, is pointing to a truth that has been at the core of our faith since the beginning. We are one people, created by one God. And our destinies are all tied together. If you invoke as Father the One, who judges all people impartially, according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. This is Peter's advice, Peter's admonition. When you find yourself in exile, when you find yourself in fear, live not in terror, but in reverent fear. Or as another translation puts it, reverent awe. But make no mistake, the Greek word is fear. What makes fear reverent? It's all about whom you fear, of whom or of what you are in awe. And this is a very important, very relevant question. Because whatever it is that you fear the most, that is what is going to control your life. That will be the basis of your calculations, the motivator for all your decisions, the focus of all your attention. And so, of course, advertisers learned long ago to pull every lever they could in order to grab our attention, and fear is the most easily accessed lever of power. So our news sources, our phones, our televisions, our newspapers, they're all oriented around fear and urgency. The thing you have to know now. But Peter offers us an alternative suggestion. If you invoke as Father, the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. Reverent fear, holy awe. Fear of God has a very different character than the fear of the present moment that surrounds us. It has a much longer timeline, a gentler engagement, an outcome that is both more sure and more benevolent than any of the other messages surrounding us, clamoring for our attention and our allegiance. The fear of God is quieter, isn't it? Calmer, gentler. It's not demanding in the same way. It doesn't get in our faces and make urgent demands that we do something now. Instead, it is present, constant, trustworthy, a solid place on which to stand, and a steady guide to which we can look for direction. It is the fear of God that leads us away from self-concern and anxiety and frees us instead to, as Peter suggests, love one another deeply from the heart. Pro tip. Doing something for someone else is one of the most effective ways that you can care for your own mental and emotional well-being. Not something huge and complex and extravagant and expensive. Something small. Something that carries more emotional freight than anything else. Something that helps someone know that you care. And so finally, it is caring that brings us to Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh, cared for us by entering into our exile, abandoning the privilege and safety of life outside the human experience. Jesus was born as a little baby and lived as a refugee, a blue-collar worker, a member of an oppressed ethnicity. Jesus shared with us some of the darkest experiences life has to offer and did not shrink from dying, and dying in one of the worst ways ever devised. Jesus not only entered into our exile in his personal experience, Jesus continued to enter into the exile of his followers by showing up, being present with them in the dark aftermath of his passion and mysterious resurrection. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus found two of his disciples in sad conversation, and he joined them, though unknown to them, until they finally recognized him as they broke bread together. It was this recognition that enabled them to retrace their steps, to hurry back to Jerusalem down that scary dark road in order to proclaim in chorus with the rest of the disciples, "The Lord is risen indeed." Peter encourages us in the midst of a fearful time to live not in fear of illness or fear of hunger or fear of running out of toilet paper. Peter encourages us not to live in fear of deprivation or fear of loneliness or fear of death. Peter encourages us to live in fear of God, who is greater than all those other things and the source of every good. Fear of God, who alone has power to save and power to put every loss to rights. Fear of God, who joins us in our exile, endures great suffering for our sake, and invites us to experience the gift of an indestructible life. Amen.